Today on Wings, we look at Hollaback, an international grassroots movement that aims to end the problem of street harassment by empowering the targets of this behavior through the use of social media.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
We began the show today with accounts of street harassment that some listeners may find disturbing.
I must have been 16 years old, and a friend and I were walking into the train.
With about 5-6 guys in a car that stopped next to us.
A group of guys came up to me.
Getting in my face, getting too close.
They pretty much started harassing us in every sexual way possible.
And started calling me a whore.
I can feel him staring at me, and I'm just trying to ignore him.
He was rubbing himself up against me.
You don't really know what's going to happen. You don't know if it's going to turn violent.
And one of the guys started following us.
They actually got out of the car. They started chasing us down.
He ended up locking the doors on me with him in the car.
I was terrified to go to school the next day. I actually didn't go to school the next day.
It's not all right for guys to be able to just do that to you and you to keep quiet about it. It's something girls should definitely speak out about.
Street harassment is everywhere, globally. And everywhere it exists, there also exists a movement to end it.
Collectively, all of them will create enough noise to get people to change their mind.
The accounts of street harassment that you just heard were just a few examples of the universal issue of street harassment. One of the central aims of Hollaback is to end the silence of people who experience this issue and to give them a place to air their grievances. In this next excerpt, Emily May, co-founder of Hollaback, gives a speech about the movement and its potential in combating street harassment.
Street harassment is not a new problem. It has probably existed since the advent of streets. And efforts to address it are not new either. In the 1920s, there was an effort called the Anti-Flirt Club. Terrible branding, but it was. And in the 1970s, there was an effort with the feminist movement. They brought it into the limelight again. But what is new today is the solution. Never before have we been able to document our stories of street harassment on the go, and never before have our stories mattered so much. With mobile apps, blogs, and social media, stories are amplified to thousands within minutes, and this is allowing us to build movements faster than ever before. In this social media world where everyone has followers, followers become the new leaders. At Hollaback, we have trained over 200 activists around the world. We've given them our platform, our apps, our blogs, and our social media. And we've worked with them to localize the movements to their communities. Together, we have built a powerful global movement. And like all global movements, we don't always agree on how street harassment's going to end. But we do always agree that it must end. And what we've seen is that the leaders with the least amount of access to power are the ones who are most attracted to this model of movement building. Our site leaders are 90% under the age of 30. They're 44% lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender. A third are people of color, and a quarter of them have disabilities. Under their leadership, our sites in Istanbul, Croatia, and Poland have released groundbreaking research on street harassment. Our site in Edinburgh has had the Scottish Parliament issue a motion in support of it. And Hollaback Philly will soon be getting anti-harassment ads. You see, online movement building and online activism, it's not just about making it easier to share a petition or to tell your story to your friends or to tell your friends about a cause that you care about. Online activism is about bringing solutions to problems that used to be considered hopeless. And it's about bringing a platform to leaders who used to be ignored. And that is a tremendous win. Thank you.
Hollaback has become a global initiative with chapters in 26 countries.
Through its website and app, Hollaback collects individual reports of street harassment from across the globe and places them on a map which is visible through the website. The Australian website, melbourne.ihollaback.org, publishes reports from victims of street harassment and allows readers to click the I've Got Your Back button offering a sense of support from the community for victims who have shared their stories. January 9th, 2014. Walking home from the train in Coburg, I had a car full of men all roll down their windows and stare at me. Then they started yelling offensive things. A few minutes later, while crossing the road, I had a man in another car stare at me and lick his lips. It was my uncle's birthday and he was celebrating it at my house. I walked down the hall to my room and there was a 60-something-year-old man there. He sort of chuckled and said, "Nice legs." I wanted to scream at him, "I'm 11, what the hell?" But I was too paralysed. I often work from my local cafe. Walking home at about 3 p.m, a car slowed next to me. The guy wound down his window and said, "What's your name?" I ignored him. He continued to match my speed, saying, "Aren't you going to talk to me?" Finally, I snapped and said, "I don't want to talk to you." He sped off yelling, "You bitches are all the same."
Simone Flanagan, a member of Hollaback Australia, joined Australian program Women on the Line to explain exactly what street harassment is and how Hollaback is addressing the issue.
We're here with Simone from Hollaback. Thanks for being on the show, Simone.
Thanks for having me.
Cool. So first off, can you tell us a bit about street harassment?
Street harassment is any form of harassment that occurs in public space, and it usually has a sexual undertone, but not always. And it's any sort of a harassment that happens with someone that you don't usually know. So it can be someone hollering at you, it can be a wolf whistle, it can be a "hey baby," it can be something much more offensive than that as well, in terms of really quite crude commentary on someone's physical appearance or something like that. So it's any form of harassment that occurs in a public space.
So, Simone, are there any statistics about street harassment available for Australia?
No, not in Australia as yet, and we are looking to do some research in that later in the year. But there is an American statistic which I find quite shocking, which is that 1 in 4 girls has experienced street harassment by the age of 12. And by the age of 19, 9 out of 10 women have experienced some form of street harassment.
So just from that description, I reckon most women in Australia would have had some experience with that, or at least known somebody that has. I know I've definitely experienced beeping and shouting from cars ever since I was a teenager. I find it intimidating and it gives me a fright. But apart from that, what are some of the longer lasting or less obvious effects that you guys think street harassment has on women or victims of any gender?
I think everybody's experience is quite personal, and I think I can only comment on my own experience and those that I've heard of. It depends on the age of the woman or the person who's experienced it, because men do experience it as well. It really can affect people's self-confidence. It can affect people's sense of safety, and it does affect people's sense of self. I mean, if you're stepping out of the house and you feel like you're being judged on your physical appearance on a daily basis, sometimes even more than daily basis, that has to have an effect on your psyche and your self-confidence. There is a good report by the Australian Centre for Sexual Assault Studies that actually talks about the emotional and physical effects of street harassment. And one of the big concerns that we have at Hollaback is that we believe that a society that condones street harassment is potentially a society that condones violence against women.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it would be potentially a smaller thing that would lead into a larger thing. I think it allows for behaviours that might lead to things like a rape culture, which is a term that gets chucked around at the moment a lot in feminist circles.
Absolutely, and I think that there's a really slippery slope, and I think that's why personally and as Hollaback, we don't agree with any form of street harassment, because we believe that there are varying shades of it, and some of them to some people are less offensive than others. But if you say it's okay for a person to wolf whistle or say, "Hey, baby," or then it's okay to say something incredibly rude, or is it okay to judge someone on their sexuality, their race, their ability? And it's not by saying that street harassment is okay if it's complimentary, it's a personal experience can be very different. So it's not really, we believe that it's not okay to have any form of street harassment.
Yeah, and there is an element of feeling like your body belongs to society or to strangers rather than to yourself. I know that's something I've experienced in the past, where you sort of feel like if people feel entitled to speak to you or comment on your physicality that way, you wonder what else they feel entitled to do with you.
It's a really interesting that you use that word, entitled. It's a word I use a lot when I talk about street harassment, and it does in my opinion, and from what I've heard from my peers, is that it does come from a place of entitlement, that the perpetrators, usually males but not always, feel that they have a sense of entitlement to comment on a person's physical appearance, sexuality, demeanour, ability, whatever they're choosing to comment on. And it really does, I mean, these people, these perpetrators, they wouldn't say this to their sisters, daughters, mothers, girlfriends, you would hope, but yet they feel, because they are in a position of potentially privilege within society, that they actually can comment on someone from afar and that that's okay to do so.
Yeah, I've spoken to a couple of mates about my experience with street harassment, and one of them in particular said that he used to beep at people when he was, or beep at women when he was driving his car, and although he hadn't done it for a few years since he was in his early 20s or whatever, he still was really shocked to hear that I was intimidated by it, because I guess it was a carelessness more than anything malicious that led him to do that. Which leads me to the question, have you spoken to perpetrators of this behaviour, and if so, what's their sort of feedback on why?
We've spoken to males. I mean, individually, we've all spoken within the organisation, we've all spoken to male friends and family members about this. An interesting conversation that I had when I was interviewed earlier this year, the cameraman, after we'd finished filming and I were having a chat, and I said, he said he'd found the experience quite eye-opening. He didn't realise how prevalent it was in Melbourne and that sort of thing. And I said, oh, do you or any of your mates engage in street harassment? And he said, no, I don't think so. And he was sort of packing up his camera. And then probably a minute or two later, he said, so actually, I do remember the, you know, my mates do. So I can remember being in the car with people and they've honked at people or they've hung their head out the window. And he goes, oh, you know, I probably should have said something. He goes, no, next time I will. Next time I will definitely say something. But he goes, I didn't realise the impact that that was having on the person experiencing that. And yes, just because the person perpetrating it doesn't realise the impact that that's having on the person who's experiencing that harassment doesn't make that experience any less frightening, doesn't make the person feel any less vulnerable or sometimes angry. But it's that experience is the person who is experiencing its right to own that experience and respond to that in whatever the way that they choose.
Yeah, absolutely, which really shows the benefit of organisations like Hollaback. So in terms of the response, I know on your website it says that you encourage women to stay calm, which from personal experience I can say is really difficult.
Yep.
And I've been known to throw up a middle finger and swear at perpetrators in my time. How do you generally recommend that women do respond?
We recommend that people respond in a way that feels comfortable to them. We wouldn't suggest or condone anything confrontational if that person didn't feel like that. I respond very differently from case to case. I mean, there was recently I was hollered at from my balcony. I live near quite a busy road and I was harassed from the street below and I scowled and stuck my finger up at them. Whereas other times I haven't had the energy to respond and I've had harassment in the street and I've literally just ignored it because it gets tiresome, but it's also, you pick your battles. I pick my battles, but there is no right or wrong way to respond. But if you feel confident in telling the person who is harassing you that they're doing something wrong, then we strongly encourage that. We also make, and you can download them, I think, from our website or pick them up at our events. Like, we have these little business cards, which are called creeper cards. And basically the text on them says something to the effect of, you've been given this card because you've done something that we believe is inappropriate, or you've been observed doing behaviour that is inappropriate. So our subscribers and people can actually download those or pick them up at our events and use them to sort of passively give someone a bit of a check that they're not doing appropriate behaviour.
I think that's such a good idea because sometimes, I mean, in the moment you do feel shaken, the same response as you would to any sort of traumatic experience.
And I think that's why the website works really well, is because often people walk away from a harassment experience going, oh, shit, I wish I had have said this before, or I wish I had have, you know, I wanted to say this in the moment, and they've got pent up emotion that hasn't been released. And being able to post something via a website or via the app means that that person has an outlet for their anger or being upset or feeling emotional about it, or however they want to respond, and actually vent that in a really safe space. So,
right. And how long's the app been up and running?
Well, the app's been up and running for about 9 months and the website's been going since late 2012. The fact that it exists in 71 cities and in 24 countries really says to me that this is not a problem that is unique to Melbourne or Australia. It is a universal cultural and social it has a social aspect to it that is really universal, and it's nothing, I guess, for people that are out there listening that say that they potentially feel alone when they experience street harassment, or that it's just something they have to deal with, that there are people fighting back around the world to try and prevent and raise awareness and destigmatize and say, no, it's not okay.
On Wings, you're listening to stories about Hollaback. Just so you know, as you search for it online, that's spelled HOLLABACK.
We Hollaback from Chicago!
Hollaback, Birmingham, UK!
Woo! We Hollaback from West Yorkshire, UK!
It's from UAM, it's Hollaback from Berlin, Deutschland.
I Hollaback from Chandigarh.
We Hollaback from Croatia. Reagira I ti s nama.
Hum Hollaback, Mumbai se.
We Hollaback from Alberta, Canada.
Hey, en Querétaro nos atrevemos. Atrévete tú también. Acá hemos tenido la cosa en las calles.
We Hollaback from Bristol.
Ah! Hi, I'm Tori.
And I'm Jenny. And we Hollaback from Richmond.
We holla from Baltimore.
We Hollaback from Atlanta. Peace up, A-Town down.
I'm Patricia, and I holla back from Brazil.
Holla back from Istanbul.
We holla back from Wellington, New Zealand.
In Ottawa, we holla back.
We holla back from Morris.
We holla back in Portland,
where all women and LGBTQ folks have the power to end street harassment.
Now back to Melbourne, Australia.
So Hollaback is mostly aimed at women because they seem to be the most commonly affected. But you also mention LGBTI communities being victims of street harassment. Can you talk a bit about why they might be targeted?
I think the perpetrators who holler at women are the same people who holler at potentially people from the LGBTQI community, also the trans community, the people with disabilities, people from different races and ethnic backgrounds. It comes from a sense of entitlement, and it comes from a judgment of one of two things. I either like the way you look or I don't like the way you look. And depending on what that preconceived idea from the perpetrator is, that's the kind of street harassment that will happen. We are very keen to engage more with the diverse communities in Melbourne and look at ways of combating not just street harassment against white, straight, able-bodied women, because we're very aware that this is an issue that is bigger than that. So, but it is our opinion that it is the perpetrators coming from the same place. So,
yeah, there is something in there about it's something to do with fear of difference or just straight out judgment or discrimination, isn't it? And it's just one of a million different ways that that kind of sentiment gets across.
Yeah. And I mean, I have a lot of friends with disabilities, and I also work in the area of disability, and I do hear stories from friends. And one of a particular one that really resonates with me is a friend of mine is short statured, and the comments that she gets on public transport, you know, she's a woman in her late 40s, and she just says, you know, she's had this her whole life. And she, until she knew about Hollaback, she spoke at one of our events actually last year, she just thought it was something that she just had to suck it up and deal with, because she goes, it's just the way society is, and it's not nice, but it's just part of being a short-statured woman and traveling on public transport. And we sort of were chatting to her and saying, it's not something you have to accept. It's not something that it is okay. Just because something is common and prevalent within society does not mean it's the norm.
Yeah, which brings us to sort of where Hollaback is in its mission to raise awareness. You know, what are you looking towards? Is there sort of policy and legislation that you would like to see changed? Or I know there are some laws in Belgium that punish street harassment with fines and prison sentences.
Look, I think as a country, unfortunately, we're probably not in the we're not as progressive politically in terms of the movement, in terms of being able to get something like that off the ground in Melbourne. I think we'd be a few years behind that. At the moment, our priorities are to actually destigmatise, to create solidarity, and to encourage bystander intervention, so that by encouraging more people to speak out, by encouraging particularly males to speak out and say, hey, mate, that's not on, you can't say that, it does break down those sort of hard and fast social constructs that say it's okay to do this. Ideally, I'd love to see, you know, within the next 5 years that we had similar laws in Australia. But I think particularly with the current government that we have, both on a state and national level, I think we would struggle to get something like that off the ground. I think one of the things that would be really beneficial to the movement within Australia of ending street harassment would be to have Hollabacks or similar organisations in each state, because at the moment we're the only one in Australia.
And are you receiving any funding?
No, we're not receiving any funding at all. We're a completely volunteer-run organisation. The only sponsorship we have, and it's very generously donated by a co-working space in North Melbourne called the Electron Workshop, so they've donated us some office space. Look, we are looking to get some funding this year, but it's hard because there are a lot of community organisations out there that are doing great work, and funding's really hard in any sort of community sense at the moment because both philanthropics and government are looking to cut back where they can. So that's why events like Heckleback, where we only raised a small amount of money, but that's a small amount of money that we can then do something with in future. So
if people do want to engage with Hollaback, what should they do?
The best way would be to visit our website or our Facebook page or Twitter, depending on what your preference is for social media. Our website is melbourne.ihollaback.org.
And you can also download the app from the App Store.
From the App Store. So just type in Hollaback. So that's actually the universal app. It's not just an Australian app, but it will register Australian addresses and things like that. And they come through to us and we upload them to the website. On the international website, on the main Hollaback website, there are some really good resources for bystanders, how to speak out if you do see something. And with any big social movement change over the last, 100 years or so, society has told us that you need people outside of the core group being affected in order to get social change. So we need to get allies. We need to have people speaking out saying it's not okay, not just people who have experienced street harassment.
So can you give us a quick example about how some people might engage with perpetrators in order to point out what they're doing wrong?
I would just call them on their behaviour, but do it in a safe way. I wouldn't encourage anyone to get in a fight or be confrontational with someone if they don't know in a volatile situation. You can go up and speak to the person who is experiencing the harassment and check in with them and say things like, is there anything you want me to do? Are you okay? Just checking you're okay, rather than engage with the perpetrator themselves. If you want to engage with the perpetrator themselves, particularly if it is someone you know, just giving them a check and saying, hey, what you're doing is not cool. What you're saying is not okay. And then potentially trying to explain to that person why it's not okay, which would be, do you speak to your mum like that? Would you speak to your girlfriend like that? How would you react if your little sister was spoken to like that? That sort of thing.
Oh, thanks so much for coming in, Simone. It's
no worries.
Been a
thank you for having me.
That was Amy Middleton of Australia's community radio program Women on the Line, interviewing Australian Hollaback organizer Simone Flanagan. Now from Canada, here's Leandra Holcrow from the show Intravenous on Campus Radio CJSF-FM.
A Vancouver, Canada, Hollaback branch was just recently established, and we were fortunate enough to be able to speak with them about the movement.
I'm Shannon Fisher, and I'm a writer in Vancouver, and I'm the team lead at Hollaback Vancouver. I thought it sounded so fantastic, and I saw that they were all over the world, and so I thought, well, they must have one in Vancouver, so I looked, and they didn't, and I was bummed out, and then I thought, well, I could be that person who starts it. So I talked to a friend of mine who I had been having the talks with, and she was 100% in, and we inquired, and we got trained to start a chapter in our city. We believe that when we dismiss things on one side of the continuum, we normalize it and we open the door for more forms of violence to take place and to be normalized. When people in the comments are saying things like, lighten up, the guy's just trying to give you a compliment, what's your problem? It's silencing to women who are saying, well, this isn't a compliment and it is a problem and it makes me feel unsafe.
For today's last word, we return to Emily May, explaining to an assembly of Hollaback leaders why she started Hollaback.
I just wanted to quickly tell you a story about how I got here and why I'm here and why I stopped just walking on. My parents divorced when I was 3, about that age. And my mom was a single mom. And she never in a million years thought that she would get a divorce. My grandparents didn't get a divorce. Their parents didn't get a divorce. Nobody got a divorce. And yet there she was, 32, living in a tiny apartment with a 3-year-old. And my mom used to cry herself to sleep at night regularly. And I would hear her from my little bed. And one night I pitter-pattered into the kitchen and I got her a little juice box and brought it to her. And I said, "Here, Mommy," because, you know, that's what she did for me when I was crying. And she looked at me and she decided right then and there that she did not care if I, like, turned out to be smart. She didn't care if I turned out to be musical or athletic. She could care less if I turned out to be pretty. Like, all she wanted in that moment was for me to grow up and to be really, really independent and to never feel the way that she felt right then, which was so lost and so alone. And so, with my mom as my backbone, I grew up to be really, really independent. And I moved to New York City when I was 18 years old. And like so many of you, and maybe so many of you even today, I was walking through the park and a man said to me, "I want to f*** the shit out of you." And I thought it was a fluke. And it kept happening. And each time that it happened, I started to feel like it was chipping away at my independence and who I was and who I am today, and that if I was just a little stronger, that maybe it wouldn't happen so much. If I just looked a little tougher, that maybe they wouldn't bother me so much. And I'm probably not the only person here who feels that way. But my mom taught me freedom isn't just about doing what you want to do when you want to do it all the time, even though that's really awesome and important and a core value that I think we all share. At its highest level, freedom is about being able to solve your own problems. And at an even higher level than that, it's about being able to solve the problems that face us all. So when my friend Sam looked me in the eye and said, "Emily, you live in a different New York City than I do," I was like, "You're right." And we've been working ever since to change that. So where are we going? Away from a world that we're told that street harassment doesn't matter. Or as one foundation told me, that it, quote, doesn't exist in the United States. We are going towards a world where we are supported and not questioned. We are going far, far away from a world where schools are hotbeds for bullying and harassment. And we are going straight on towards a world where healthy masculinity is taught in every school and every student knows that street harassment is not okay. We're going away from a world where a crowded train is totally an excuse for an improper touch, no matter what those subway ads say. And we are going towards a world where every subway system will have a strategy to receive reports of harassment in a thoughtful way. But we're not going there without you. Everything that we need to end street harassment is right here in this room today. Every story, every rally, every piece of art, every map, every app. Every policy change, every PSA, every curriculum, every conversation is here. It is inside each and every one of you. And so from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you so much. You inspire me, and I hope that today you can inspire each other.
Thanks to www.ihollaback.org for use of their audio. The Hollaback edition of Wings was produced by Leandra Helcro, host of Intervenus, CJSF's Women's Collective, and spoken word coordinator Megan Thomas.
To hear this and other Wings programs again, email wings@wings.org or check our daily news feed at facebook.com/wingsradio. Wings thanks 3CRFM Melbourne, CJSF-FM Burnaby, and your community radio station wherever you are listening. Also, thank you to longtime supporters Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, author of the book Forgiving, A Feminist Criticism of Exchange. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album A Circle Is Cast. I'm Frieda Worden, Wings series producer. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.